All right, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, that's what it's about. But we're not going to talk about all the fruit of the Spirit this morning. It's just some thoughts I've been having about this. And I think I've got a few things to say this morning that'll help you if you listen. I think it's something, and it applies to me as well as to you. And so I hope you'll listen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's read through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's a capital S, that means the Holy Spirit, that means if the Spirit of God is in you, these fruits are going to be there to some degree, whatever. You know, they're going to be there, not going to be missing. And it's not going to be some of them and not the rest of them. Seth mentioned this, but this is the way it is. The fruit of the Spirit is not fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is all these things, yes, these different aspects and all of that. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that's where we stop usually thinking. We listen to the rest of them. We say them, but that's where we usually stop. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. All right, now what I'm going to really kind of focus in on this morning is joy. I want to say to you this, joy inspires hope. I try to find a title for my message. I used to not pay much attention to that, but most people won't listen to the whole thing. They'll listen to just a little bit if they listen to anything at all. So the important thing is to try to get some of the message across with just the title. If they just see the title, they're going to get something. Get something to provoke them to thought a little bit. Joy inspires hope. Joy is what, it's an important part of a Christian that we're missing, I think, in our time. And I'll tell you, I hope you'll listen this morning. Bow with me and let's have a word of prayer. I got another scripture to read and then we'll try to hurry this morning. Try not to be so long. Father, thank you for the word of God and thank you for the truth. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach it and try to encourage others and myself. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way in our hearts this morning and in our lives, and that this not just be some new thing we learn about, but that it be something that we apply directly to our lives. It makes a real difference in our everyday life, attitude, state of mind, state of heart. Please help us, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Well, what is it then? "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." All right, now the important thing here is that you got to care. I don't know if you care or not this morning about being a good Christian, being a good ambassador for Christ. You know, that's what matters. A lot of people, most people do not care. It's not a priority in their life. It's not anything they think about, consider. It's not anything they study about, seek to know about. They're just what they are. I am what I am. This is it. You see, what you see is what you get. Yeah, I'm saved. I did it. I said the prayer. I've been baptized. I go to church. I throw some money in once in a while. What more do you want of me? It's that kind of an attitude, really, if you really uncovered, pulled all the covers back and looked at it for what it really is. Do you care? I mean, I know that when I really got right with God, from that point on, I've cared. It was the most important thing in my life to me to please God and to be a good testimony. You know, and have we always succeeded? Well, of course not. And neither have you, neither has anybody else, always. But my goodness, what are we going to do? Just give up and say, well, that's the best I can do. No. You ought to strive for perfection. You ought to strive to be more than what you see in the mirror. And when you look at yourself, you got to care. Do you really care this morning about being a good Christian? Being a good example. Making a difference with your life in this world. With your own family. With your children. With one another. With other people that are out there. People you around every day. Do you care about making an impact on them for God? And righteousness. We talk often of the fruit of the Spirit, but the applications where we fail in the matter. We know all of them. There's 9 of them. A lot of you could say them, quote them, you know, just spit them right out. But when it comes to the real life, I mean, when you really look at yourself and examine yourself, do you see that in your life? I mean, if you'd really be honest about the way other people see you, could you honestly tell yourself and believe it that other people, this is what they're impressed with when they get to know you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Is it? Boy, it's quiet, ain't it? Because we fail here. This is something we don't really care about enough to put enough introspection in, examining ourselves, to see if we really be in the faith. I mean, if the Holy Ghost lives in us, this is going to be present. This is the kind of person that we're going to see. Now, growth in grace, yeah. You're going to see different parts of the fruit of the Spirit growing more than others in different timing, but there's a maturing that happens, and a mature Christian is going to manifest these traits. They're going to be that way. They're what's going to rise to the top. These traits. This state of mind. I want to say a few things here in a minute about this. But let me just hurry up through this. Love is the first thing listed. And we tend to focus on that. And as the other things are listed, they sort of fade off in importance. I mean, what's the last one? How many of you can just call it like that? How many of you think about the fifth one or sixth one? Nah, we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, because we always say that. Love, joy, peace. Well, that's wonderful. What's the rest of them? They all matter just as much as those. You see what I mean? We focus on the first, and then we just fade out as we get on into it. And that's why it doesn't get applied in our life. The second part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And it seems that we fail in that more than we do in love. I'll say that. I think that's right. Yes. We fail more in manifesting joy than we do in manifesting love. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we'd have to own and confess the fact that we're not joyful Christians most of the time. Would you say you are? You're a joyful Christian most of the time. Well, we should be all the time. I mean, we're compromising just to say most of the time, and we can't even do that. So that's not too good for us here this morning, is it? We're not really, we ain't got too much to boast about this morning or to feel good about this morning about ourselves, if that's really true. And I believe it is. The lack of joy, I believe this is true. I believe the lack of joy is probably the greatest reason we fail to win others to Christ, especially our children and our loved ones. We manifest righteousness of the law and all that, you know. I mean, we're law and order, right and wrong. We teach them those things, but we leave off something most important. Joy. The joy of the Lord. I'll tell you, I hope this will sink in for you this morning. We all know what a joyful person is like. And most of us are not like that. Now, that's a fact. A joyful person is a rare jewel. And it just should not be that way. Christians ought to be full of joy. It ought to be one of the first things that you notice about them when you are around them. They're joyful. A joyful person, are you listening to me?
Yes.
They're upbeat and positive. Now, I'm not pulling a Rick Warren on you or whatever. What was that other guy, Robert Shuler, Power of Positive Thinking? I'm not saying that just thinking positive and being positive fixes all the problems. But I'm just saying to you, a joyful person is going to be an upbeat, positive person. They're not going to be negative, negative, gloom and doom, poor me, pitiful, darkness. They're not going to be the big black cloud that just comes over the place everywhere they go. That's not joy. A joyful person is upbeat and positive about other people. He's not just critical all the time. Finding fault with other people. Bad mouthing, gossiping, criticizing other people. Joyful people don't do that. You can't have joy when you do that. Now can you? Just answer me that. Can you really be full of joy while you're doing that? No, no, no. Does it inspire joy and hope in other people when you do that? Of course not. It just can't be that way. He's positive and upbeat about other people. He sees the good in other people. He has hope for other people. Joy inspires hope. About the future, he's joyful. You know, we're living in a time and it's darkness all around us, I know. And we talk about it plenty. And we ought to talk about it less and talk about the future on past all of this more. We ought to be joyful about what's waiting for us beyond all of this. So what? It ain't going to last long no matter what happens. And we'll be with the Lord and it'll be wonderful and everything will be fine. And God's got all this under His control. So we ought to shout glory to God and be happy. About present circumstances, a joyful person is joyful. Even in present circumstances that are not favorable to him or pleasant for him. He inspires faith, hope, and love. That's what a joyful person does. A joyful Christian inspires faith and hope and love. And that's what we want to do, ain't it? I mean, that's the whole idea of trying to get people saved and get them to know Christ and trust Christ and believe the Word of God and love righteousness. You want to inspire in them faith. You want to inspire in them hope. Because in this world there's no hope. I just read it a while ago. They were without hope and without God in the world. That's where all of us were. And somebody come along with joy somewhere and inspired us to trust God. That's why it livens up a meeting. It brings life into a meeting if you've got somebody there. This got some joy. It brightens a home. It brightens a marriage. It brightens a workplace. If there's just somebody there that's got some joy. And we're all supposed to have joy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Now, all these numerologists say 13 is a bad number. Well, boy, this ought to be a bad verse then, shouldn't it? Well, here's what it says. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Don't sound too negative to me. Sound pretty good to me. Faith, hope, and charity. Say, so how does that relate? Oh, it fits perfectly with what we're talking about here this morning. That's what joy inspires. Faith, hope, and charity. A joyful person greets other people with a smile. That really helps, don't it? When somebody smiles at you, it just changes everything, doesn't it? It changes your frame of mind, your state of mind. A joyful person does that. I said we all know what a joyful person is like, and most of us aren't like that. Do you frown at people or do you smile at people? Do you greet people with a smile or with a... A joyful person is not striving with others. But he's at peace. What's that third one there? I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We know that too, don't we? He's at peace. He's not striving. It's not coming to have joy. Because nothing's disrupting it. Because he's at peace. And he loves everybody. And he's got hope. And that's what he's looking at. Instead of all the negative around him and all the things that are wrong and everything is so bad, He's looking at God's promises and the bright future. And he's living by faith and trusting that God, that the people around him that ain't what they ought to be, could be what they ought to be, and might be what they ought to be one of these days. And his joy is going to add to the probability that they will be. A joyful person is not striving. A joyful person is refreshing to other people. He's refreshing. That's what you go to studying through the New Testament, and you see this connected a lot. And there's so much I wanted to say this morning, I ain't going to be able to, but one of the things that I want to say that I didn't write down is this: part of the joy of the Christian is of the Christians. Paul brought that out over and over. He talked about them being his joy. I have no greater joy, it says in 1 John, to know that my children walk in truth. You find it all over the New Testament. His joy was based, or partly based, it gave him joy. It changed his state of mind just to know about other Christians doing right, being faithful. It was inspiring to him. It inspired hope in him. You know, Paul had a lot of discouragement. You know, when it came to the end, he said, no man stood with me. All those people he preached to, all those churches he started, all that missionary trip that he went on three times, and nobody? That'd be discouraging, wouldn't it? He needs hope like everybody else needs hope. You know what gave him hope? Joy. Made him hope. It inspired hope in him. When he had joy and hope, other people got a hold of it too. And they got joy and hope from his. A joyful person doesn't complain and murmur. Do you complain? Do you murmur? Boy, you know, this, maybe this was wrong. I was up there yesterday and all this big church and all their stuff and everything they've got. And boy, they got so many people and all this and everything just taken care of. And I think, what's wrong with me? Well, here's what's wrong with me. I preach negative stuff like this and press questions upon myself and you. I'm preaching to me too, not just you or whoever might listen to this. But this is a fact, and we need to face this. Do you murmur? Do you complain? You complain about everything or anything. Boy, that's not pleasing to God. You don't have to go far in the Bible to realize that God hates that. And it's very offensive to God. And it's offensive to other people. And it's a stumbling block to other people. Israel did not go in the promised land because of their murmuring and complaining. Because they wasn't happy. Because they didn't trust God. They didn't have hope. They didn't have joy, therefore. And so, this is how it works, see? A person is full of joy, does not complain and murmur. A joyful person doesn't feel sorry for themselves. You can't have joy and be having a pity party. Poor me. Well, what has to be me? Why did it have to happen to me? Why does my life have to be like this? How come I can't have? How come I can't do? How come I can't go? You ain't going to have joy with any kind of thinking like that. You're supposed to be content with such things as ye have, right? Paul said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Joy. So when you met Paul, you met a happy person. So you met somebody full of joy, content, satisfied, not complaining, not murmuring, not bad mouthing, not gossiping, not criticizing, not talking about the doom and the gloom. You met somebody who had something to brighten you up. If you was around him just a little bit, you left refreshed, brightened. Yeah, if it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit, if joy is just as much as love is, and it is, then we should be willing to examine ourselves in this matter honestly and seek to change whatever needs to be changed in order to conform to what God means for us to be. This is not something we do. It's something that happens when we submit to God and believe in Him. See, you're sitting there thinking, well, how in the world can I be happy when I got all this? Well, see, you'll never have joy like that. You'll never find it. You'll never express it. And other people won't see it in you if it's fake anyway. It's got to be joy. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. I mean, if He lives in there, if the Holy Ghost of God lives in there, you will have joy. And I ought to say, be joyful, because joy is not an emotion. It's a state of mind and a state of your heart. That's what joy is. It's not an emotion. And see, there's where we make our big mistake. If we can't feel it, then we don't think we got it. Joy, love, joy, and peace. You divide these up. It's easier to memorize them that way if you do it. There's 9 of them. 3, 3, and 3. And the first 3 are related, the second 3 are related, and the third 3 are related. The first 3 things are in the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. Those speak of the general state of mind of a Christian. You think about it. That's exactly what it is. Love? It's not a thing we do. It's not an emotion we have. It's a state that we live in. That's agape. That's not phileo love. That's agape love. That's for God so loved the world that He gave His own. It's that kind of love. It's the state of your mind and heart toward others. You live in that. You love them instead of hate them. You wish well toward them. You have goodwill toward them instead of ill. Joy is a state of mind and a state of heart. And peace is a state of mind and a state of your heart. At rest, at peace, not in conflict, not striving, not in the battle. Love, joy, peace. State of mind, state of heart. The second 3 things are long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Well, those are things that affect a man's intercourse with his neighbors. I mean, the way we interact with other people. Long suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Those are things that describe how the person who's filled with the Holy Ghost will deal with other people. You'll wait on them. Long suffering means you're patient with them. You wait on them. Long suffering. It ain't easy. Suffering. It's not easy to wait on them. Might cause you some inconvenience, might cause you some trouble, might cause you a little frustration and a little extra work for your part, but you it's okay. You're long suffering. Somebody waited on me. God waited on me. Somebody put up with my nonsense for a long, long time. Least I can do is wait on somebody else. Has God worked that in you, any? Well, these are things they're qualities that affect a man's intercourse with his neighbors. And the third 3 things are faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are just principles which guide a Christian's conduct. Faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. Meekness is what Seth was talking about in Sunday school. Related to it, it's humility instead of proud, arrogant kind of a attitude, so to speak. And then temperance. We know what that is. That's just self-control, among some other things I could say. But let's hurry up here. One of the definitions of joy, when you look it up in a dictionary, are you listening to me? One of the definitions of joy is a glorious and triumphant state. Do you live in joy? Do others see that in you? Do they recognize that? Is that one of the things that stands out of it? I mean, you do it with other people. I mean, other people impress you if they're just happy. If they greet you with a smile. If they're upbeat in their conversation and positive. They're just the kind of person that you want to be around, aren't they? Absolutely. They just brighten up everything. And you want to know, it's the verse that I read to you earlier here. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And it's right on topic of what we're talking about. That was in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you live in that and you do that and that's the way you are, you're approved of God and men. People like you. They're drawn to you. They'll listen to you. It gains you some influence, some power to influence them. Well, isn't that what we're about here? I mean, isn't that what don't you want to have some influence over people toward God? To help them out of the darkness they're in? To give some light in their life? You got to have joy. I mean, this is where we miss it. We miss it because we walk around in just the opposite most of the time. As a verb, joy. You listen? If it's a verb, it means to gladden. To gladden. To gladden the hearts. To make somebody glad. Glad they know you. Glad they met you. Glad they run into you. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Well, he's not referring here to a joker. He ain't referring to a heart full of foolishness and worldly merriment. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a heart that's full of joy, that shows through on the countenance and in the conversation. People are drawn to people who have joy. They cannot help it. And it is a strong medicine that does good for them. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There are mainly two ways to influence people. Did y'all ever think about this? There's really just two ways to really influence people. To sway the crowds. To sway somebody individually. They can be stirred to action. Now, we can watch this in the news every day if you want to. I've determined I'm going to quit watching so much news. I'm sick of it. Takes away my joy. Makes me think on dark and negative things that are all vanity. And so I've decided I ain't going to look at it so much anymore. I don't need to know that. I need to know more about the Word of God. And my times are running out, so I don't want to spend my hours looking at that nonsense and looking at their pornography when I can be reading the Bible and learning more from God. They can be stirred to action by inciting them to anger. Now, you can really, and you can madden them, or you can gladden them. Now, if you stir people to anger, buddy, you can get something done. But what about if you stir people to joy? They can be stirred to action by inspiring them to faith and to hope and to love. You can inspire people to action by that. Anger and bitterness breeds anger and bitterness in others. Now we know that, don't we? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words, they stir up anger. Is that right? Strife. Well, that's true. You know, if I come to you and I just jump down your throat and say, "You," what does that do to you? What happens in here? Right? When somebody does you that way, when somebody speaks to you in anger, what does that do to you? Oh, your blood just boils immediately. I mean, they have come up and just spit it all over you, puked it all over you, and now you got it too. That's how it works. And you can affect people that way. You can influence them, man. You can make them mad and they'll do something. They'll do something. You can point them to some other. You can direct that anger at somebody else. That's all the news is about anyway. It's hatred and anger and trying to destroy one another, the leaders and other people. Anything that's, you know, they're just out to kill each other. That's all it's about. It's a big brawl of anger and hatred. What about joy and peace and love? Joy and peace and love breeds joy and peace and love in others. And it inspires hope. Yes. Buddy, the world needs hope. And you need hope this morning. Everybody here has got something that you're worrying about. Something that you're fearing. Something that you're dreading or apprehensive about. The kids are growing up. The money. How are we going to do this? You know, I just see so many problems. Well, real joy will inspire hope. Now, if you see real joy in somebody else, that'll inspire you to hope in spite of all that. If you have real joy in your own heart, it'll inspire you to hope. You can't have joy without hope. They come together. You just can't. There's no way to be happy and have joy and peace if you don't have hope. That's why the faith, hope, and charity. Now abide of these three. Faith, hope, and charity. Ain't no joy without it. Now the joy of the Lord is not based upon circumstances or feelings, but on faith, hope, and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says here. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See? What I'm telling you is right. You got to get that foundation there. Faith and hope and love. And you'll have joy. Why do we not have joy? Do we have no faith? Why do we have no joy? Do we have no hope? Do you have no hope? I mean, can you not look to the future and see the light shining? Do you have no love? I mean, yeah. How come we ain't got no joy? What's the deal? Let me read you another verse. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. This is familiar here. But then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. That's what I used to tell people when they was trying to tell me to quit eating sugar and all this. And, you know, when they'd buy their fat-free food, I'd say, the Bible says eat the fat. What are you doing? Well, go your way. That's not the object of this verse, the subject that he's talking about. Listen to what the rest of it says. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Don't be doom and gloom. Don't be down and out. Don't be a dark cloud over everything. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's our strength. It's our strength to influence people. It's our strength of our testimony. The joy of the Lord is. Without it, there's not much testimony. Be honest with you. Now I'm telling you. This old stuff, turn or burn, repent or perish. Now, it's true. But there better be some joy somewhere in the mix. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it ain't the all in all. What about the love of God? What about the peace He gives? What about the joy of the Holy Ghost? We can be full of joy of the Lord and manifest it to others even when we're suffering great affliction. It doesn't depend on the circumstance. It's not based in the circumstances. It's not based in our feelings. It's not based on what's going on around us. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. Listen to the words, what it says here. He's talking about the Macedonians. How that in a great trial of affliction. Now those are not light words. He said in a great trial of affliction. This is more than a flat tire. This is more than a missed paycheck. You know, a great trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. I mean, they was going through a terrible trial, an affliction. And they were deep poverty. They were dirt poor and didn't have enough to fix the roof. But they had joy. Abundance of joy. And it abounded to their liberality. They were able to give and help somebody else. Significantly because of their joy. Their joy helped other people. You get that? What if they'd have been saying, oh, why is this happening to us? I mean, all we did was believe God and believe the gospel, and we thought this was going to be an easy ride. I thought God took care of his own. And all. Doesn't happen that way with real Christians. They don't have a pity party and complain and get under the juniper tree and say, oh, just let me die. I can't stand it anymore. No, when the trials increase, grace increases, so joy increases. They went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. After they beat him, they went out rejoicing. And the Bible tells us over and over, rejoice. When the trials are hard and heavy, when everything's bad, when you suffer for doing what's right, rejoice. Because great's your reward in heaven. So in everything, give thanks. And we're to rejoice evermore. Rejoice. Well, that's joy. That's to be, be joyful. Well, are you? I mean, go look in the mirror. Check your face. See. See, they're going to say, there's somebody that's got some joy. There's a happy person right there. And they're going to say, well, that poor fella, that poor old woman, my goodness, look at her. We can be full of joy and manifest it to others, even when we're suffering great affliction. Joy is always connected with faith and love and always inspires hope. Joy is always connected with faith and love and it always inspires hope. Gives other people hope. I keep saying that, but I want you to get that. You need to understand how your disposition, your state of mind, your state of your heart, how it affects other people that you bump into. Smile. Just a smile. This makes all the difference in the world. It don't matter if you're attractive or unattractive physically. A smile is attractive. You understand what I'm saying? It just inspires hope. Somebody else. It lifts the burden a little bit. Somebody might be having a terrible time and they run into somebody who's just got some real joy and just a little bit. Just a good word and do see, wow, what can that do? A whole bunch. It's always connected with faith and love. Listen to this. Philemon 5 through 7, verses 5 through 7. Hearing of thy love and faith. Yeah, ain't that something how that's in the Bible over and over? You get on a subject like this and you see the connection and then you just start finding it everywhere. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Why those words, they just keep interlocking, don't they? Faith and love and joy and hope. You see? Y'all see that? Y'all still wait? Yes. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So our joy is a refreshing thing for others and a great help to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. Therefore, we are comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Well, Titus had joy, so they had joy. See? Exceedingly more. Because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Well, he must have got it from them. They must have been joyful because it refreshed Titus. And then because Titus was so full of joy, they were exceedingly full of joy. It kind of spreads like, that's it really does. It inspires hope, which brings joy. If you got hope, you got joy. If you don't have joy, it's because you really don't have hope. Or you don't possess it. You're not living in that hope. You're not looking to that hope. Well, if you're not looking to the hope, what are you lacking there? Faith. If you got faith, you're going to have hope. And if you got hope, you're going to have joy. So let's go backwards. Ain't no joy. Well, how come ain't no joy? Ain't got no hope. How come you ain't got no hope? Ain't got no faith. That spells big trouble. I mean, this is just a fact this morning. We ought to be joyful in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we have faith and we have hope, we're going to have joy. Now, that's the way it is. I can state that as a fact. Something wrong. So we need to start examining ourselves. Do I really believe? Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. So you can have hope. So you'll be joyful. It really should be this way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. He said this. He said, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." How did he refresh him? Joy. There ain't no other way. He said, "Well, the word of God's way." Yeah, but people can take the word of God and use it for a weapon of death and destruction. It's joy that makes it alive and powerful. And joy comes from where? Faith and hope. So we should ask ourselves honestly today. I mean, you ought to look in the mirror and you ought to ask yourself this question. Do I refresh people? Or do I oppress, depress people? Think about it. I know that's pretty hard. Pretty hard. But I need to ask myself that too. I need to be conscious of that myself. How do I affect other people? When they walk away from talking to me, are they refreshed? Or are they, "Lord, help us"? You know. Do you ever notice people trying to get away from you? Or do people just cling to you and won't go away? That'll answer your question pretty good. If you're full of joy, they ain't going to want to get away from you. If you're oppressing, depressing, if you're not full of joy, they're just going to try to be getting away from you. You know, you can keep talking, but they'll keep it backing, I guess, you know. What is my influence on the spirit of others? Does it brighten and inspire hope? Or am I like a cloud that hides the sun? We just need to be honest with ourselves about this. And we need to be diligent about it. You know, the way this thing gets fixed is we get honest about it. We recognize ourselves for what we are. How it really is. You know, that's me, man. You know, that I'm guilty. And that ain't right. I do believe in God. And I do have hope. And that's where I ought to be looking. And that's where my conversation ought to be coming from, instead of the circumstances and these people and all of this that's wrong and all this trouble I've gotten. We all got troubles. And it's all right to bear you one another's burdens and all of that. We need to share burdens and all that, but it ought to be more than that. It ought to be some joy shared. It ought to be the predominant, prevailing attitude, frame of mind. It ought to be joy. You understand that, what I'm saying? I know. I'm not saying we all just go around shouting all the time, just hallelujah, shout, yes, glory to God, praise God about everything. You know, I know you don't feel good and sick and got things bearing down on you, but the prevailing state of our heart and mind ought to be joy. And you gotta put a little effort into that to maintain that. Because the devil will fight you there. He'll fight you in your mind. And he'll get you to looking. Hey, look over here. Look at this bad. Look at this mess. Can you believe this? Look at this. And while you're looking at that, your joy evaporates and you're troubled. That's the opposite of joy and peace, is being troubled and fretting. How can we hope to convince people to become Christians and trust and follow Christ if we're full of doom and gloom all the time? And how can we expect our children and others to follow us in following Christ if we're melancholy and dissatisfied and seem to be without hope. Melancholy? Where's your hope? Nobody would be depressed if you just look to the hope that's laid before you. That's right. We all fight discouragement. And you know, that's not really being depressed. Most people are just discouraged. Because that's what they are. You know, they had hopes, but they were dashed. Well, you need to raise the bar a little bit on your hopes. Don't hope in things of this world. Don't hope in other people and what they're going to do or have done. Put your hope in Christ. Yes, hope in God. He'll not let you down. Look to the end of it. So this is really the essence of let your light so shine before men. Light? Well, that's what joy brings. It brings light instead of darkness. Jesus said, let your light so shine. I started to call this message sweet and salty, but I didn't want to get too much in the salty today, so I didn't name it that. But I looked over in the Gospels there where Jesus talked about that. He said, you're the salt of the earth. That's where he started at. And then he said, you're the light of the world. And you don't take no man takes a candle and hides it under a bushel. But let your light shine. Well, how do you let your light shine? How do you brighten the corner where you are? By telling all your problems and worries. No, joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Can't you be joyful about what you got in Christ? If you got anything, I mean, that's the deal. If you really got it, you can be joyful, no matter what the circumstances are. I say it pretty often, but I think of old Miss Alcorn up there in the nursing home. Now, if you want to see joy, go visit her. We didn't even recognize her. Finally got around to the other side of the bed. She couldn't move, couldn't turn over, couldn't do nothing. But when she saw us see her face, you know what the first thing we saw was? A smile. You know what that did for me? Well, it inspired hope. If she can lay here like this and hope and have joy in her heart for months, now years, in that state, and I can walk and I can talk and I can work and I can go places and I can read my Bible and I can get up and preach and I can go out and visit people and I'm going to drag around and murmur and complain and throw darkness all over everybody. What a disgrace to claim to be a Christian and know God and have on my way to heaven if I can't do no better than that. That's right. You're the light of the world, so act like it. Spread some joy. Not fake. Just be real. Just get your anchor down where it belongs and live like a Christian ought to live. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in the lives around you. I promise you. I know that's right. All right. Well, stand with me. Amen. We let the cares of life and the troubles and all that are around us, we let it, like so many say, steal our joy. Well, it just shouldn't be that way. The Spirit of God, He's got more influence in our life than that. He's most certainly should. How in the world can we claim that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us if we can't maintain some joy? Look at every person that you talk to, at every person that you meet, every time you're talking to anybody, think about that. Think about being a blessing. Think about brightening things up for them a little bit instead of darkening things. Forget about your own troubles. It's just like it always works in every area. If you'll just forget about your troubles and try to cheer somebody else up and encourage them, your troubles won't seem near as heavy. And when they kind of fade out into insignificance, you know what's going to be left? Joy in your heart. Well, that's what you want, ain't it? That's what we need. That's what God says we have. So why not just do that? Remember, every word you say to somebody else, is it going to inspire hope, faith, love? Well, think on it and do something about it, you know. How many of you think you got some work to do in this area here? I've got my hand up. Well, I aim to do something about it. How about you? Amen. I'm going to think about this. Yes, sir. Time's getting short. Who knows how much time any of us got to live? Or when Jesus is going to come back? Boy, we better be. We better strike while the iron's hot. Better do it. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the instruction here this morning that you've given us. Please help us, all of us, me included, to obey and to conform, Lord, our lives and our words, our minds, our thinking. Help us, Lord, to do your will in this area and be a blessing and be an influence more in those around us. Work in the hearts of everybody here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.